Hello, Rebel! Ladies and gentlemen, welcome your wives, your sisters, your daughters, your girlfriends, fiancés, and even your female pets. What are you looking at while we're talking, mate? I'm not wearing anything.
You are part of the Rebel Alliance.
Rebel Alliance isn't going to go away.
GW. I was going to say GW, and GW in my mind does not mean Gears Workshop.
You are part of the Rebel Alliance.
Anyway.
You're not wrong.
I've never said to your fed that you're wrong.
Yeah, if I lose, it means I wasn't trying. But if I win, I also wasn't trying.
Yeah.
I'm not a tryhard.
I wouldn't even call it a dicing. I would just say that he had more favorable dice than I had.
The other guy was not impressed.
What's the worst that can happen, right? What is the worst that can happen?
Ladies and gentlemen, SuperFed TV, everybody.
Yeah, it's like when you just decide that you don't care about your elves anymore and you're just gonna throw them at the ball until it works. Things can happen.
Oh, don't get me started.
Did he really just say that right now to me with a straight face? Did he really just say an hour and a half to 2 hours? Pauline is for suckers after all.
Well, now that we've figured out that situation, guys, go and cage dive your ogre.
Take it away!
Oh, it's gonna be good, man.
Oh.
Hello, Rebel, and welcome back to our latest episode of Rebel Alliance. I know we missed last week's, but we're back. We've broken the streak, but we're continuing our march to 100 episodes. We are currently episode 97, so we're getting damn close. And we are, of course, Rebel Alliance, the only Blood Bowl podcast that brings on guests who have no idea what our current format is. I'm Fullmetal, you know me by now. And if I stop to cough at any point, it's not because I'm dying of coronavirus. I just have a bit of a residual cough left over from my tonsillitis, which is why we didn't do last week's episode. I am sorry about breaking the streak, guys. I really wanted to, but I literally could barely talk. I'd have just been relying on SuperFed to say smart stuff and occasionally croaking into the mic, and it wouldn't have been enjoyable. And speaking of SuperFed, he's here. Hello.
Hey, everybody.
How you doing here, buddy?
Great. Sheltered.
Sheltered.
You know, doing the whole self-quarantine thing.
How many rolls of toilet paper do you have? This is an important question.
I'm looking at a completely unopened Costco package of 15, so 30 rolls of toilet paper that are unopened.
That's a lot of toilet paper.
Yes.
Yes. It's a weird one, right? I don't know how, like, much, how jokey the material can be around Corona yet, because obviously we're not through it, and it could get a hell of a lot worse before it gets better. But, I mean, there's a lot of, like, humour coming out of it, too. Like, I just read somewhere that apparently, if you're in Italy, because the entire country is quarantined, Pornhub are giving you, the entirety of Italy, Pornhub Premium for a month. For free.
Nice. I suddenly have an Italian VPN.
But, like, I mean, that's a really cool gesture. And I think, you know what, if you're going to stay in, apparently you got to do your best SuperFed impression and get it on.
Right. Well, I think, you know, you can still joke about sensitive subject matter as long as you're not tasteless and, you know.
So we're doing.
Don't go too far.
Is what you're saying.
More often than not, this podcast is, yes.
Yeah, okay. Speaking of doomed, and speaking of the guest that I already introduced somewhat at the beginning, having no idea what's going on, the fact that we might, I don't even know if he's entirely aware we're recording or not right now, or even what day it is Mr. Chubstep.
Hello,
hey buddy.
I, Chubstep. How's it going?
Not too bad, man. How are you? It's been a long while since we had you on the podcast, and it's been something I've been trying to rectify for a while.
Yeah, it's been good, all right. We've been very busy. Life's a bit hectic at the moment, and this whole coronavirus is not really helpful.
I mean, that's not the reason you've been completely out of the loop, is it?
No,
it's more the fact that you're literally living somewhere and working somewhere else.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I live somewhere, and then I have to travel and stay at my old house with my parents to work, because life is fun. As soon as something's going well, something else comes around to ruin it.
Yeah, that sounds about right. But yeah, how's your we might as well crack on straight away with it. How's your games been going? Because I saw I'm now recapping your division, which I thought was interesting, how that happened.
Fantastic.
And I believe your last game was a bit of a, what can only be described as a slobberknocker.
It was a bit of a slobberknocker and a bloodbath for both sides, you could say. Me and Rasta played, and it was a violent game, and many touchdowns were scored. But it was a good game. I love playing against Rasta, it's great. But we took a few knocks, but no one died. People were just missing for the game against Nurgle, so, you know, that's okay.
Yeah, who needs players against Nurgle, right?
It's fine. The Nurgle team's very baby. I'm not at all worried. I don't care about winning, it's just about development. And, you know, I managed to level like two or three players, so it's alright.
That's good. Well, that's good. Yeah. Speaking of Nurgle, I believe Superfed has a date with a Nurgle team, don't you?
I do. I get to play Yayo and his Ye Old Guard, who's the team that started out when my Kislev started out. So we've played multiple times. And then I played as Necro when I was playing Orcs. So Yayo and I are like old rivals. So I'm sure he'll be very kind and gentle to my five remaining rats.
I'm sure he will be. He won't be.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the problem there being that if he started at the same time as your Kislev and playing Nurgle, it probably means that he's a lot more developed than you are right now, given that half your team is dead.
I mean, what's developed, really? We have, you know, coaches in row one that are at 2KTV and, you know, they're still playing for next season. So, he's wow. I think, at like 1900. And I'm at like 700. So
you're at 700 now.
Unironically, without journeyman, I'm at 740 TV.
What the?
Yeah,
I mean, okay.
I got trashed. So three weeks in a row, my lightning bolt has been a one. I managed to still win one of those games, but this past week was just heart wrenching against high elves. Who killed my vermin that got claw that I was so excited about?
It's dead to high elves.
Dead to high elves, along with my gutter runner that had two heads in Rackle. So I am straight up down to, nothing. Just nothing.
did a lot of nothing.
I have a natural one turner, an Agi 5 sure hands gutter, and one vermin.
You've got a wizard. That's a thing.
A wizard in a dream. Because, you know, lightning bolts never roll one 4 games in a row.
I never did.
That'll never happen.
Yeah.
Against Nurgle.
Oh dear.
So yeah, that's where I'm at. It'll be great.
I don't know what to say, man.
Somehow I'm still in the playoffs, like, hunt. Like, right now, if it was over, I'd be in the Challenger Cup. But I don't really feel like I have a Challenger Cup team, so... I think I'm probably re-rolling, but we'll see.
You've probably got a challenged team at this point, I assume, given the damage you've taken.
I have 20k in the actual bank, too. Like,
oh, no!
There's no rebuilding this team. It's just dead.
Oh, that's sad. That's a sadness. Speaking of sadnesses, I played Chorfs this week. And as if playing Chorfs isn't like, oh, well, that kind of sucks, you're playing Chorfs. On top of playing Chorfs, I got pitch invasioned on turn one and had half of my team stunned.
I would call that divine justice.
Well, no, because it wasn't as bad as what happened to you when I did it. It wasn't as bad. So I still have some karma to pay off there, I think. But it really does put you on your back foot when you have like 4 players available on turn one, on your own turn one, and you know basically I lost my entire defensive drive before it ever begun, thanks to the pitch invasion. It was against Wraithlord as well, so everyone's going, "Oh look, just prove that Fable's better than Rebel." I was like, "Fable fans are certainly better than Rebel fans. Where were you guys when I needed you to pitch invasion?" Could have done with you a couple hours ago. Snarky gits. But I heard some stuff. I made him pay for it. I managed to move a Chorf blocker and
That's like a death.
Well, it was a rookie, so he did fire
should
him.
Definitely be a death, yeah.
So I killed a Chorf, which is good. And I did that in clan as well, actually. In clan recently, I also played Chorfs because I'm the guy that takes all of the rubbish matchups in Metal Clan. Yeah. With my undead. I bet there's a lot of people who play Undead in Clan going, yep, I feel that.
I play Orcs in Clan, so I know how you feel, dude.
Maybe I'll re-roll the chores.
Why would you do that to yourself? Why would you do that to anyone? I know you're a terrible human being, Fed, but you're not that terrible of a human being.
I've done enough Agi games, and I feel like every single, like, the fact that Shadora was able to accurately predict exactly when my team would implode says a lot about my experience with Agi. And that, you know, I'd just be better off if I was playing something like Face Rolling Shores.
Does it say a lot about your experience with Agi, or does it say a lot about Shadora's wisdom?
I mean, both at this point.
Because he does know a lot about... I mean, he's a smart guy, Shadora. He knows a lot about Blood Bowl, and...
He still has yet to give me my invite to the AVN Awards, so... He owes me, is what I'm saying. And instead, he curses me with dead players.
I mean, I assume he's busy hooking up the entirety of Italy at the moment, so... We just talked about this.
Oh, yeah, he's probably freaking out about it, like...
Who's paying for that?
How are we covering this, boys? It's not coming out of my wages.
I'll have to ask.
So you know what, right? I've got to say as well, if anyone thinks, like, wow, they've been talking about, like, you know, like, porn and stuff a lot on the podcast recently, it's entirely because King of the Cosmos reached out to me the other day to tell me that how... And he is, like, if you don't know King of the Cosmos, he's basically the porn guy, like, more so than even Superfed. He is Rebel's unofficial curator of the porn.
What does that say about Blood Bowl leagues when I'm not the guy that's known for that?
when you're the second degenerate.
Right? I'm not even the top tier degenerate.
You're step two. And he was like, man, you've been talking about porn all the time, when am I going to get my invite to the podcast? And so I just think I slip a little bit in every single episode. That's what she said. And then we'll get him on, and we'll have the cleanest episode ever, where we'll not mention it, we'll not reference it, we won't even talk about it. And I'm just going to set him up. That's my plan.
All right. Well, you know, all of your plans that you lay out on the podcast always come true.
Well, you see, I could just not invite him. I mean, I think I'd still win.
I'm not the one that brings it up, usually. I mean, Herringsword brought it up the other day, you brought it up today.
You say this, yeah, but we're only catering to our audience, which is you, at this point. You know,
the only one that I ever did, and it was an entirely unintentional slip, was the GW incident. That was entirely on me.
Yeah, but once it got you a reputation, we've got to roll with it, right?
It's fair. That's how we embrace the meme.
it's very much a rebel strategy, this one, to just go with whatever comes up.
Do you need me to mansplain a meme again to you?
I still can't believe that happened.
Oh no.
This is how a meme works, everybody. Thanks, Superfed.
Thanks, Superfed.
Great job. Anytime.
Oh, it was ridiculous and I loved it. I've completely lost where we are at the moment on this one. I don't know what is going on anymore. We were doing a podcast, right?
Yeah.
What happened on a podcast?
We did our games of the week. That's where we are.
Yeah.
Yeah, how's Clan going for your Chipster? Because, I've heard Rodder is getting in trouble for stealing all your members.
Rodder, it's weird. Every member of, like, apart from the glorious Squiggy, every member that's been in Fic that's left is in Rodder. It's like we're the training grounds. We're the scouts for Rodder. And we just hand off our best coaches. We gave them McNugget.
Well, you said best coaches and McNugget in the same sentence, though. So
we had one of the better records.
That's going to make his top 40 pick really contentious.
And then we gave them... then they stole Shadora from us. The scrawny traitor, as he's known in the server. Because for some reason, he's still in the server. Don't know why, but he is.
Is he trying to, like, steal... Are you in Division 1 at the moment, or no? I mean...
No, 2A.
So it's not like he's trying to steal intel or anything.
Yeah, well, basically, when we were thinking, like, you know, if we wanted to advertise to find a member, why don't we just put, you want to be fast-tracked into Rodder? Join our clan.
Would you like to play with Herringsword? Because in about 2 seasons, you can.
I think it's a good pitch, honestly.
I've heard worse.
Like, I mean, we got Dave, and Dave's a good coach. He's
I don't know who Dave is. The thing he said this to me the other day, I was talking to Steak, and he was like, yeah, we got Dave. I was like, who the hell is Dave? Like,
just my pal Dave.
Just a guy at the local grocery store named Dave.
Yeah, just Dave.
They gave him a computer, and he plays now.
Yeah. Googling who my pal Dave is.
Yeah, I wanted to know what team he played. What's he playing right now?
Well, in Clan, he's playing Pro Elves. Yeah, Pro Elves. It was an elf team.
Okay. I mean, it's a thing.
Yeah.
I played Pro Elves for a while in Clan. It was actually, I quite like Pro Elves in Clan, but I mean, in Clan in general at the moment, Agnia Soupfed's snoring already. Sorry, Soupfed. We'll move on. We'll move on quickly. But
I'm just reading about coronavirus updates. So.
Oh yes.
Excellent. Welding people into buildings, you know.
What? I don't want to get this started.
Does it say "Don't dead open inside" on the door?
Right.
Dead open inside. That's such an old meme.
quick, explain memes, Superfed, quick! You might not know how they work.
It's an older meme, but it checks out.
Oh, it's really tickled my funny bone there.
Have you missed us, guys? Have you missed us, everybody? Because, I mean, this is about what you can expect, if I'm honest. We've ran the smorgasbord in about 15 minutes of what to expect for the next 2 hours.
Vintage podcast.
I'm just surprised we haven't mentioned the prophecy.
Oh, we need to talk about the prophecy real quick.
The prophecy.
He felt a little bit. I think that's why I lost against the Choffs. They didn't have a Minotaur, and Mark's your big guy just didn't know what to do with himself. But he did get MVP. So clearly, I mean, someone was a fan.
He's just charging up power.
Just talk more about the prophecy. That ogre still isn't right after it.
He died.
He did. Yeah, but the replacement is still living in the shadow of the prophecy. Like, he can't do anything.
He watched that match and he was like, "That's what you've got for me, coach. That's what you've got coming for me." It's like,
yes.
No.
He can't do anything.
I play Andy Davlo next with his vampires.
Oh yes.
So I've scheduled on Reddit, and we'll see if that game gets played.
Will do.
Do we schedule on Reddit in this league? I forget.
I don't know. Do we schedule? I think we don't, and then we complain, and then we rage quit. Isn't that how it works?
That's right.
Oh, yeah. We just make it, like, unplayable times, and then complain when it doesn't go our way.
No one's ever done that.
Was that too on the nose? I'm sorry.
No, that's acceptable. I am fine with
that. I was never sorry.
Well, who's going to have unplayable times now that the quarantine is here?
Yeah, I was going to say, everyone gets to play,
everyone's
right?
Everyone's playable now.
Well, I mean, you know, some people get quarantined. I'm not able to be quarantined.
Well, like I say, I mean, I feel like, actually, as Blood Bowl coaches, we've been preparing for this, like, our entire lives. It's fine. It's like, oh, we'll just play a game that takes an hour and a half to 2 hours per match. We're good at sitting indoors.
I mean, that's pretty much all we do. We sit indoors.
Yeah, and actually...
play a game that we hate sometimes.
With the Perpetual League setup, anybody can just drop and go. Notice that smooth transition there. The Perpetual League is in playoffs, and...
I believe you're doing quite well, aren't you? Yeah. Who did you beat?
Did. Who did I play? I diced Zinj. Zinj had Wood Elves and a Wizard, and I had Necro with no Tackle Whites. And, you know, he rolled a lot of ones, so I won. And now I play Joff. We agreed it was Joff. And I think we're trying to set it up for Sunday, and he wants you to cast.
No. He does, and Sunday is actually a good day as long as I get some time in advance. Except, I mean, you know, the downside being that the new Path of Exile League launches on Friday, and I'd totally rather be playing that. But, you know.
You can do both.
I can peel myself away. Multitasking
is always a thing. Just mute. Can you play PoE while muted?
I could,
like,
mute PoE
while the game is muted.
And,
yeah.
And totally cast it. I suppose I could. Picture in picture.
Yeah.
Sure, it'll be fireball. Fine.
Be
no, obviously, I'll cast. As long as I can square it over with the missus, of course, I will cast that game. it will.
It looks like we're going to be setting it for a time that is likely your time zone friendly.
If it's time zone friendly, then I'll do everything I can do it to cover it, because Jeff's been talking about this for ages, and the least I can do.
He saved up his good one for a match against me. Chaos on Necro.
That's
the perpetual ladder playoffs.
How chaos are his chaos?
I mean, they're like, I think, what, 1,500, 1,700, somewhere around there.
That's, so they're not too scary.
They're girthy, but they're not quite, you know, penetratingly deep. Oh, I don't know how many words I can throw in there.
Too suggestive, come on.
They've got some heft to them, but they're not going to, you know, just completely manhandle you and hold you down for the full match. So it's a fair balance game. I've got two block guard golems, so that's like all I really need for Necro, in my opinion. Now,
prime time golem.
Have you got any?
Not on the wolves anyway. I've got a palm white.
You're running a chubstep Necro team where you never roll doubles in your werewolves.
And you know what? They're still winning. Like, it's the team is 16-0-1. I'm pretty okay with them.
That's
not getting doubles at that rate. That makes me want to play Necro in the main league again, which is where this team originated after the Greenhorn. But I'm still leaning Chores.
Just one horrible option for everyone, or another horrible option for everyone.
More Necro or more Chores? Well, it's not like I'm going to play Nurgle, right? Like, that takes way too long to develop. And Chaos is, I would say, crowded. But I want a claw team. That's all I want is a claw team. And Skaven have yet to yield a claw team status.
Yeah, why not just play Underworld, man?
That's not a good claw team.
Oh, don't say that.
They're not a good claw team. I was so excited for Underworld to come out because Eisen Mike was like, yeah, you can do stunty chain push plays. And I was like, ooh, that sounds awesome. And I played Underworld for 3 games. And everything dies.
You could do you could do cage dives with two-headed goblins that last one game because you cage dived with a two-headed goblin.
No, just take claw on every goblin, man. I'll never expect it.
What I was sold was that Underworld were lizardmen with claw, and what I saw in reality.
Hang on, who told you that?
Eisen Mike.
Yeah, you got lied to. They don't.
But
have
instead, Underworld were goblins with claw.
I mean, Underworld are lizards with claw if the lizard team was playing with Zerosaurus.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or if you had, like, strength ups on all of the Skaven Underworld players.
And double armor up.
Right. Yeah.
Because...
No.
Yeah, you're not playing something, like, tough, like
I could do Lizardmen, too. I guess Lizardmen is an option.
I thought you weren't allowed to eat lizardmen because they're not an expression of skill.
They're not. Like, me playing lizards would not convince anyone that I'm a better coach. But me playing lizards would be better than me playing Skaven.
Imagine you're playing Underworld, right?
And they have 89. I could go back to orcs, I guess, but that's dumb. Why would I go back to orcs?
Orcs.
Honest coach. Please.
I'm leaning Chorfs. Chorfs because they're orcs with claw.
Somewhat? I guess.
Somewhat. More so than, like, Nurgle.
Yeah.
Nurgle are definitely not orcs with claw.
No, Nurgle are chaos with survivability.
Right.
And cheaper Fallen pieces, which is very valuable in my eyes.
Mutual important, yeah.
Yeah, and Chorfs can foul.
Chorfs can foul. Hobgoblins. Hobgoblins are very good.
Yeah. I think I'm selling myself on Chorfs, which the only downside to the Chorf option is that Wolf Ramajax is going to be like, hey, we got a new Chorf. Excitement.
Woo-hoo. But then you know he'll only bitch about you for the rest of forever because you picked the wrong strip.
Yeah.
True, because it'll always be the black costume.
You'll do it on purpose. You'll do it to upset him. I know you will.
Well, yeah.
Slight issues with Discord occasionally, freezing, but that's fine.
As long as you can somewhat keep up, you're not crackling or breaking up.
No, it's just like it just freezes and I don't hear anything for like 5 seconds and then it's back. I don't know what it is. It's just Discord being Discord. It's always been a little finicky.
We'll just chalk it up to you being you.
Yeah, I'm just an idiot.
Trying to keep up and not understand what's going on. And
I have the wooden spoon for a reason, folks.
Yeah, you're not the only one who's ever held it, though. I mean, Gerber had one.
I proudly hold it.
I do like reminding Gerber that he won a wooden spoon. Yeah. It always makes me happy.
I mean, I didn't win it first, so, you know.
I've won it.
You deserved it.
Who else? Who got it? Sis, me, Gerber, Chubstep, Jimmy Fantastic. I can't think of the others, but there are others, but they're the ones that...
Was it Sace or Sauce? Because I think both...
No, it was Sace. Sace had it, yeah. He used...
Why Gamba is there a wooden spoon winner on the top 40?
Gamba actually milled...
Why are there multiple top spoon... Why are there all three? Like, what?
The only wooden spoon holders who aren't on the top 40 are me and Chubstep that I've just listed.
Wow.
Which means it's time for someone to nominate me, is all I can think. Because they're not picking Chubstep.
No one's going to nominate me. I'm the fool's choice. If you think I'm good at the game, there's something wrong with
I had that. A hard enough time selling Kedgeroos. I'm not picking that fight. speaking of Wolf Ramajax briefly, the painting project's going on really well, actually. I know a lot of people can't see it and stuff, but I've been keeping track of it in the super secret Discord channel. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you've seen this, Fed, or you've paid any attention to it. Or Chubstep as well. I assume Chubstep's seen nothing, ever.
I've seen absolutely nothing about it. But yeah,
I feel like we've picked the worst possible time in the history of Rebel to invite Chubstep on the podcast, because he literally hasn't got a clue about anything right now.
Yeah. I mean, when I came home on last Friday, I had about 80 pings, and I was confused.
Well, if you scroll back a little bit in the Secret Painting Booth channel, you can see the models are starting to show up, and Wolf Ramajax made a really cool base with like the Rebel logo engraved on it and stuff. So I think it's going to be really cool seeing the finished team. And then obviously, as far as I'm aware, he's planning on auctioning it off to donate to Rebel, which is cool. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he'll make any money out of it, but I'm sure someone will pay something.
Some mad lad.
I don't know the exact setup of what he's doing with it once it's completed, but it's still pretty sick that he's doing it. So. I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan. I don't, like I say, I'm not privy to all of the details about the end game on it, but the fact that it's happening, and I know that lots of people from around the world are contributing minis and painting skill and time to it, that's cool. That's really cool.
Very cool.
That's been pointed out. I might keep up to date with that, because it looks quite fun.
It does, doesn't it? It looks pretty. It's pretty cool. I like the base and stuff that got made. That's
just from a spectator's point of view. I'm not a painter.
No, I was never a painter. I loved making the models and converting them and making, you know, personalizing them and all that kind of thing. But God, I hated painting with a passion. I was the get a production line set up, do 4 coats, call it a day kind of guy.
I just get Hargrim to paint mine for me. That's why I
totally bought Warhammer models. When I was a child, the first time I was like, oh, cool, wood elves. Got rangers, some wood elf rangers, and realized I had to paint them. And I was like, oh no.
And that was bad enough having to glue them together.
That was the last time I bought a Warhammer product. After I realized I had to paint them. So, yeah.
Inspiring.
Fun times. Fun times. Not a painter.
Hashtag.
Yeah, no, I never was either, mate, to be fair. I never was. excuse me. Like I say, you've got to apologise. There will be some coughs. I won't always get to my mic in time. It isn't me dying. I did get a message. I've had a message from a couple of Italian coaches. I want to say this real quick as well while we're talking about the community in general. A couple of Italian coaches have messaged me saying just how bad it is. Apparently the news is a little bit suppressing quite how bad it is over there, and it's really, really bad. And they were like, all we want you to do is make sure you tell everyone to take care of themselves and not do stupid stuff and actually listen to, like, when people say stay indoors, guys. So from the Italian coaches of Rebel, guys, stay indoors. Play Blood Bowl. Play Imperium. Imperium is so good for this kind of thing. Because you can play as many games as you want in a short period of time.
And Perpetual Ladder.
for the same reasons.
Yeah, exactly. It's so good. Like, we've got stuff there. So I was talking earlier about, like, would it be like too off color to like have an Imperium themed like coronavirus tournament where like everyone is only allowed to play teams with like Necro and Undead and Khemri and vampires and Nurgle.
Did you see Lumi's suggestion, which is, by the way, the best?
The whole I joke that you can turn the crowd off. That was from Beer Monkey.
so you have no crowd events on kickoff events, so there's no get the ref, there's no surfs don't do any damage. Anything that the crowd would be involved in.
If only we could modify the game files. The best you can do at the moment in game is to turn your crowd off in the options menu to make it feel like real sporting events.
Yep. To feel more at home.
Like I say, I just don't know where the line is on where it's okay to take the mic and where it's too far. I really don't now.
Well, I guess we'll find out with my dad joke.
Oh, God. I have a funny feeling there's a couple that are going to be pushing the line this week. I don't know. I've seen it all. Actually, like when you look at any joke, like website or like the Reddit jokes or whatever, every third joke is a coronavirus joke, and it's like Jesus.
I mean, I've been witness to the madness firsthand due to my job.
I assume you've been fighting people for toilet roll, right?
No, I've been people being very angry at me when we don't have it or any hand gel, and I'm like, I don't know why you're buying the hand gel. It's antibacterial, not antiviral. It doesn't make sense to me.
Well, my bigger thing was why is everyone suddenly buying thousands
logic
of
people?
Why are people buying toilet rolls? I don't get it. I understand like buying the food and the.
This is madness.
What is it about toilet roll that everyone's like? Why is that the one thing that's flying off the shelves? It does not make sense to me.
I mean, no. Actually, I was gonna go in an explanation of that. Now I've convinced myself that is a terrible idea.
Are you going to mansplain toilet roll?
I was going to make some comments that may be seen as, you know, gender specific.
Oh, is this back to the old topic that you seem to be the king of?
Who uses toilet paper is all I'm saying. A lot, like a lot of toilet paper. Like, oh my God, when I lived alone as a guy, I went through one roll of toilet paper a month versus
No, we can't go there. It's 2020, we cannot go there.
Was that because you were upmarket and used Kleenex Superfed?
Did you just flush a roll down the toilet in one day? Like, I don't understand where it went. Yeah, anyway. If everyone's indoors, that means they're not using anyone else's. So I can see where it comes from.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I feel like it's just a little bit too much. We'll edit that one out in post. It's fine. How do we still keep... Why do we keep making that joke? Like, is there anybody who hears that and goes, they didn't edit it?
Edit it out in post?
They didn't edit it. What? Why didn't they do that? Why did they say they wouldn't and not?
I don't know what happened there. I cut out.
It's got to be a recurring joke. We'll just edit it out in post.
Yeah. Oh God. I had a talking point and I've completely forgot what the talking point was.
Classic.
I think I just wanted to. Oh man, no. Actually, it was. What was it? It was something. I can't remember the exact talking point, but it was motivated off of a guy that me and Kedgeroos were trying to help on the Blood Bowl subreddit, with regards to. Building his team. And all I'm saying is, I'm not going to name and shame, but this guy was like, hey, I took Agi up on a chaff blocker. Should I take pass block next?
Oh, God.
How is that a talking point?
I think it was because he was absolutely unwilling to accept advice. And I was going to talk about, like, he was going to lead it. To be honest, I just want to. It ended up us all going, just stop being stupid, really. But there's a guy who took Agi up on a chaff blocker because he wanted it to be his tight end of his chaff team. And he was like, but it's okay because it wasn't a doubles Agi up. And I was like, well, of course it wasn't because it's an 11. How do you roll a doubles? How do you roll 11 on doubles? You rolled 5.5 twice? I don't know. I mean,
I almost spat out my own brew there.
He actually would have been, like, if he's truly trying to build a tight end chaff, he would have been better off going break tackle instead of Agio.
Well, his next argument was, well, what I meant by it wasn't a doubles 11 was it wasn't extra arms.
Well,
well,
hey,
well no, because it was agi-op. Like, what? And it just went from there. It was awful. It was very, very car crashy. And me and Kedger tried so desperately and failed to help. And
would you like an actual talking point?
Would I like an... Yeah, let's do an actual talking point.
Yeah.
Okay, an actual talking point. Previously in the Rebel, we used to, at the start of the season, post what the playoff picture would look like. Now, in the last couple seasons, we have stopped doing that, and we do a drawing after the season is over, or as close to at the end of the season as possible.
Mm-hmm.
There are reasons for both, and I guess I can set it up by giving some of the reasons. Which do you prefer and why would be the talking point?
See, now I think this is actually quite an interesting talking point. With playoffs looming large, and obviously we're after the split now, and people are now jockeying in the fresh planes divisions to try and get playoff tickets. I'm not there, I'm in the bottom half.
I'm also in the bottom half.
But, you know, I mean, some people are.
Those lucky few.
Those lucky, dedicated, skilled... or crazy few.
Actually, good coaches, yeah.
But I think it'll be interesting because I think... I'm going to say one of the reasons we moved away from it, and I'm going to say this is why I like the fact that we moved away from it, and I think, by the same note, you might not like the fact that we moved away from it for the same reason, Superfed, which is gamesmanship. Or, to expand... the fact that we found a lot of people in a lot of divisions were looking at their week one, because obviously we had the draw done in week one. So people were like, well, if I finish top of my division, I've got to play the second place guy in G-Man 1. But if I come second in my division, I have to play the third place in Big O 2 or something, or the third place in Rel 6 or something like that. And we were finding that towards the end of the weeks, as the time gone on, as we got closer to playoffs, we were finding that coaches would suddenly be very, very interested in not winning games because they were trying to game that, like, well, if I come first in my division, I get a really rough matchup, which is probably going to be some Nurgle, but it might be some Chaos Dwarves. Ooh, that's bad. But if I come second in my division, I might get some elves or some humans from this other division that I perceive as being softer or easier. And it led to this really weird kind of, like, it also led to scheduling chicken, where everybody was like trying to play as close to the end of the week as possible so they could see how their direct competition had done that week.
Mm-hmm.
And it is pure gamesmanship, and it kind of takes away, I don't know, I think when I play Blood Bowl, unless I'm playing like a side league or whatever, I'm always playing to win. I might not always win, and I might not be good enough to ever, you know, make the Super Bowl or whatever, but I'll always be trying when I play in G-Man or Clan. And I don't know, I feel like that takes away from it a lot.
So, some counterpoints. First of all, how many coaches do you think actually dropped games or didn't win games in order to change their standing for the playoffs? Did you feel like that was a one-off or a widespread?
I mean, I saw coaches doing it.
Talking about it or actually like doing it in the results. There was a lot of talk about it. I will totally concede that. But the actual ones that did it, I didn't see a lot. There was a lot of like, hey, you should totally drop because you're playing this guy. Oh yeah, that would make sense. But then they ended up just playing and trying to kill Ornn anyway.
I mean, at the same time, right, they definitely played scheduling chicken to get there.
No, the scheduling chicken is a different point. That is a different point. But I meant dropping games, because to me, I would think dropping games is a bigger concern than the scheduling chicken.
Yeah, intentionally losing is bad.
We give people a week for a reason, and they should have the full week to play their game.
Yeah, but when everyone's trying to play in the last 2 days, it does make it tough for admins, or if something doesn't get played, it's rough.
But that's inevitable sometimes. I mean, that's not as big of a deal to me as someone throwing a game. But here's the real reason why I feel like it is a bigger deal. The engagement of the league was significantly higher and more palpable, and it built tension, and it crescendoed when people would finish their division. Suddenly, I and Rel 2A give a whole bunch of S about what's going on in G-Man 5-3 or whatever, 5A, 5A, 5B, whatever. Like, that kind of level of attention is missing throughout most of the league right now.
I see.
And it was totally a thing for seasons and years. And so I feel like the overall engagement and hype of playoffs and all that kind of stuff into the home stretch of the season is evaporated because we don't know who we're going to be playing.
Mm-hmm. I see what you're saying there. There's a bit less caring about the other conferences rather than just your division. Because, I think I agree on that point. I just worry that I just don't like it when people intentionally don't play their best or go, well, you know what, a draw's better for me here, so I'm just going to go for the draw, or I don't care about winning this game because if I win this game, I'm going to put myself in a worse situation. That's a worry to me.
I didn't like that it was, if it happened at all, and you're saying it didn't happen, but I think I definitely saw it happen a couple of times, and the fact that it happened at all, I mean, I think maybe the fact that I saw it happen a lot was because of stuff like Planes version 1 as well.
Right, where people didn't have a way to avoid it. Yeah.
Yeah. Where there was a lot of like, oh, well, I know that I'm coming out of Planes and walking into this really bad matchup and it's going
to
suck.
That's different. To me, that's different than someone in Rail 1 being like, I want to finish 4th and not 3rd. Right?
I think someone's in
tier 5 and they're saying that I just don't want to go to playoffs and play Jimmy Fantastic. But if I was playing against Superfed's depleted Skaven team in the playoffs, then sure, I'll go to the playoffs for a game.
I mean, I see both sides of it. I did enjoy the hype and I did enjoy people paying attention across leagues. I also think it was interesting because we could do stuff like our playoff preview shows, which we've done a lot less recently. They've kind of
definitely
out.
Go hand in hand because now it's just the draw. Like Zord will do the draw and he'll talk.
People do love watching Zord do the draw though.
But it's not the same as what we had before when we would do the playoff predictions.
True. Yeah. So how do you feel about this trip set? Well, someone obviously who is very much on the kind of you cast games more than get to play in these games.
Yeah, obviously, I mean, I can see where the argument of it's there's less hype at the points of the season because they're like, oh, but now I really care about this division because I might play them and stuff. It's hard because a couple of seasons ago with the Necro, like for 2 seasons in a row, I was like chasing playoffs. Like I was in the top 5, like I could potentially go to playoffs. So yeah, I was caring about other divisions.
And he's gone completely. I think his Discord just cut out. He was carrying one of the divisions and he died.
Yeah. So what I was saying was, but I didn't notice any of like people rigging games or like not playing to their best.
I think there's maybe a lot more people talking about it than doing it in hindsight. And
I think it was something that people have thought about because everyone wants to game the system.
Right.
Of course.
There's a lot of theory crafting. Well, and just like, but that I think that was a sign of the engagement. Like, it was the fact that, like, because I can very clearly recall people in Rel chat even saying to other coaches, ooh, if Ornn wins this one, then he's going up against this guy. But if he loses this one, then he's going up against this guy. What do you think you should do, Ornn? And things like that. Like, it was a sign of the engagement.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how fond I am of people encouraging other people to throw matches and...
Yeah,
I don't know. I feel like,
but doesn't that already happen? And like, so if you go to we love professional sports comparisons. So, don't you do that with every professional sport team that you watch? Don't you look at the Vikings schedule and say, you know, if they get the wild card spot, they actually get to play a better or a worse team than if they win their division, and now they have to play against a hot and heavy Seahawk team or whatever, like.
Like maybe I don't have a very different mentality to it. I just want to watch the Vikings play football.
You don't actually compare their opponents when you're looking at playoff seedings?
No, I just turn up. I mean, isn't that?
All right. Do you do that with any? I guess, do you track any playoffs?
Hours, I guess.
All right. Fair enough. I would say most sports fans I know definitely look at.
Oh, I'm not arguing that a lot of people do it, and I definitely am probably in the minority by not doing it. But I just turned up to watch the games, man.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
I mean, that's certainly a thing, but it's also that would seem like you would be then less engaged than someone that would be doing that, right?
Out of game engagement, sure. Like, I'm going to cheer just as loudly as the guy next to me. Well, obviously not the guy next to me because I'm sat on the internet watching it because I live in the wrong damn country. And I'm not, you know, there's no chance of me going to a Vikings game anytime soon. But were I at a Vikings game, I'd be cheering just as loud as the guy next to me. Whether he'd plotted our best playoff angle or otherwise.
Right.
I just like the sport, man.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with being that kind of a fan.
He says, implying that there's absolutely something wrong with it.
Yeah.
I heard that implication heavy in your voice there, Superfed.
I think
there's nothing wrong with being that kind of a fan.
It might be worth speaking, like having like the opinions from the coaches themselves. Here's, to see what. But then I know Superfed's going to instantly walk all over this argument, so there's no point bringing it up. Maybe it might be worthwhile seeing, like, do you prefer it this way or this way, you know?
I think the survey is a good spot for that, but the off-the-wall logic, right? Because we get a lot of off-the-wall logic arguments.
Yes.
And why we do or don't do something. Do you ever feel like, well,
gosh,
now I have to be careful how I word this. I trust Harry and Zord implicitly to do the draw. Fairly.
100% yes.
But I've certainly seen in some streams, oh my gosh, this Chaos team drew Wood Elves. Oh, Rebels rigged. If the seeding was done at the start of the season, there would be no room for accusations of, you know,
right,
rigging playoffs. But I can certainly imagine a scenario where we get
at the same time, I mean, if you actually watch Haringzord's spreadsheet simulator, like, he literally rolls the dice live in
it's
our
pre-recorded
Discord in a
it's
visual.
It's pre-recorded, Metal.
But it isn't, because you can watch the dice pop up.
Hold on a minute here. Superfed, are you not the one that always says, just ignore what Twitch chat is saying?
I am. I'm having fun with this, because
and now you're like,
I'm channeling.
Listen to Twitch chat. Like, come on!
I'm channeling it, and it's really amusing to me. Right
he
now.
Hasn't he hasn't spammed any Twitch chat emote yet. He's not fully there yet. He's not giving us a wide people happy or
a lull spam.
Omega.
Omega lull.
Omega lull.
Yeah, you have gone a bit. You have gone full Papega at this point, too.
Yeah, right?
But couldn't you see that happening? I could see that happening.
Well, I could see it happening. Like,
I don't know. I just think Haringzord's like end of season live draw is super pog.
It's fine. Bye,
can I get some long W's in the comments?
Keck W's in the chat.
Keck W.
All I'm saying is I'm going to be upset if I don't roll into the 1700 humans with my Skaven.
What are you trying to say about humans?
Everyone wants to play them.
Yeah, because we're so fun to play against.
Everyone wants to play against them. Nobody wants to play them.
Correct. Everyone wants to play against
them. Oh, right, okay. Just a slight of me. That's fake mail.
No, I'm, you know what, right? I respect human coaches because I actually really enjoy humans as a team. And I think it takes a special kind of coach to pick humans and do well with them.
They're called masochists.
I would say I had more of a masochist feel when I played the dwarves, because I absolutely hated that experience. Experience sucked. I actually enjoy Blood Bowl again.
Humans are the CBT of Blood Bowl, is what Superfed is trying to say.
If you want to show really good skill expression, play humans. If you want to convince me that you're a top 40 coach and you think that you're on the bubble, give me 3 seasons of humans.
If you want Superfed Senpai to respect you, play humans.
Yeah.
Yes, give me three seasons of Humans, and I will tell you whether or not you are a top 40 coach. But if you give me three seasons of Lizards, I'm not going to give you that.
No. I'm sure many people may know of my opinions of Lizards.
Speaking of top 40 coaches, Superfed, do you want to take us in?
Sure, sure, sure. It's that time again. Boys and girls, children of all ages. We have our top 40 kicks. I'll go ahead and go through the list of them here. We've got Thomas T, The Sage, Ornan, Motley, McMackey, Morka, Sandu, Viking Cop, Gerber, Kedgeroos, Japin Z, Stauticus, Random Boy, Luminous Ace, Gudanik, Archixel, Crystal Hunter, Dirty Basher, Mistays, Toast Guy, Horny Cricket, Superfed TV, Walker Thon, Hindi, Jimmy Fantastic, Papa Nasty, Calric, and Pete.
And who are you adding to the Superfed?
My turn first. This week I will be going ahead and adding a very contentious one. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
My body is not ready. Because I have a funny feeling you're going to steal mine and I'm going to hate you for
it. Yeah, it's going to be weird.
Channel. Fiction magic time.
Okay, you're not going to steal mine. That's fine.
Fiction is a coach that played a necro team that is Gloom and Zoom. And, man, were they disgusting. They showed up in the Rebel the same time I did, but they played in the Greenhorn and got two strength up, Werewolves and the Greenhorn. And from that point, ever since, they just won games.
If you weren't getting the reference, last week's episode, not week four's episode, I believe we actually led out with the Fiction Gym advert as well. Yeah. So if you are missing the context for why Fiction's Gym is a Rebel meme, you're listen close, young.
So he not only did he just win games with his two strength up wolves. When the strength up wolves died, the next wolves rolled strength up too. Oh, yeah. He had, I believe, four. I'm gonna check on RebelNet before I speak.
There was at least four. There may have been
four wolves that were strength. War over his time at the top, and he went from I think from Div 6 all the way up to Div 1 because he did really well in the playoffs, and he flew up to the top, and then he was a staple of Rel 1 forever. Like so here's his history here. So he went from Season 5 Div 4, Season 6 Div 1, Season 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11 he re-rolled. So that was five seasons of Div 1, and he made the playoffs every single time, except for season 10 was five tickets. So yeah, he made the playoffs every single time.
I used to love this as well, because there was a lot of like debate among all of the Rel guys that were going, oh my god, Fiction like isn't good enough to make playoffs. So, and I was like, He's not that good, says certain voices in Rel. Not everyone. I'm not bad mouthing Fiction in general, but there was a belief that Fiction played too fast and too loose. And I was like, well, why do you keep letting him go to playoffs then, Rel 1? And no one could answer me.
Here's the thing. I have played against him many times. There's nothing more frustrating than having your guard perfectly positioned to say, no matter who you blitz, you are getting frenzy trapped. He can get frenzy trapped into red dice. He doesn't care. He just rolls the dice anyway and gets the removal. And then you get very frustrated. And that's, I think, where a lot of the animosity towards Fiction comes, because he's not afraid to roll bad dice. He's certainly done things like a zombie pass and catch for a touchdown, yes, for a win.
I've seen Chubstep do that, but not for the win.
Yeah, no, not for the win. Just for glory.
And like he goes pretty ham. And the playoffs, he's definitely had some interesting and controversial matches. Of course, he's not yet a Super Bowl winner, but
he's now come pretty close quite a while.
And his Orcs are in my division and basically a lock for the playoffs this season. So he's going to be back in the playoffs again. Yeah, he's come close a couple times. The hipster half screen match was a real treat, and I think that was might have been the closest he got. I think he's been to the quarterfinals, but yeah, he's a staple when it comes to the REL and to Rebel playoffs. And I don't think you can really seriously build a top 40 list without having Fiction on there, simply for the fact that, you know, his team was God mode, and now he's on a second team, which is like the orcs that he has aren't exactly a God mode team, but he still
gets. So are you saying his plus strength luck didn't translate to his orcs?
He's still got one strength up blitzer, but it's not like he's got multiple strength ups that are driving the team.
Yeah. I mean, he does have strength for black orcs, I suppose.
Yeah.
But they're not werewolves.
They're like golems. They're like golems.
Yeah. No, I can't disagree with that. I mean, to be fair, like I say, I think at times he has a tendency to play a little bit too fast and loose. And I think when you see him turn up to a game and he tempers that, and he actually turns up with the intent to win, he's a very, very challenging opponent. But I think it is, you know, and maybe it's just the whole having two strength for wolves does let you get a little bit lazy, right?
Well, and he's, like, destroyed teams, too. So, like, I can think of a few teams that just showed up in playoffs and are like, cool, I'm with the big kids now. And he just bulldozed them and, you know, permed three players or whatever, like, at the same time. So,
I think the one I remember is the game he played against Gerber, where he managed to get four Black Orcs stuck on one Flesh Golem for three turns.
Yeah.
It was just like, that's how you win against Orcs. Have one Flesh Golem that refuses to follow it. Hindered Dejection.
What is his name? Hindered Dejection, that's right.
Instantly became...
Dejection.
No, it was the original. It was Hindered Dejection.
The original.
It was the original
Hindered Dejection. That was the first season he was in playoffs.
And it was just, he just turned up and Hindered Dejection looked at Gerber and went, no. I disagree. And he just go there and went, alright, then I guess I'll lose. Like, there was nothing you can do when three or four of your Black Orcs are stuck on one Flesh Golem for three
and it was
straight
just
turns.
A simple Blodge Flesh Golem, but...
I mean, Blodge Flesh Golems are incredible. Let's not mess around.
Yes.
He threw, I think it was like 14 block dice at the Flesh Golem and didn't get a knockdown.
Yeah.
So. That'll do
it. Flesh Golems are just a gift. And they keep on giving.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think that seals that one in there. Who's up next?
Do you want to go, Chipstep?
Yeah, I mean, I can go.
Not that you knew what the top 40 was until
five minutes before
we started the podcast.
It's like, you know... I would have liked just some notification before.
I thought you might have still been listening. You know, when you said you've been traveling a lot to get to work,
yeah.
I was like, well, you know what you can do when you travel, and you can listen to podcasts.
Yeah, I can, but I listen to other podcasts.
Traitor.
Because this kept getting delayed that I was to come on, like, it just kept, like, getting pushed to the back of my mind. Anyway, they asked me who I fought, and instantly my mind went, HUD. Just instantly HUD. I've played against HUD twice. And I played him in Season 9 and Season 10 of G-Man. This is back when I played Necro. He's still playing the Clawtimore Rams, which, by the way, this is one of the reasons. When he picks a team, he'll just play it in any way he wants. And this is an all-Beastman team with Mino. Like, he doesn't care about Warriors. He doesn't need the Warriors to succeed.
He's not doing too... He hasn't had as much luck as he had with his Lizards, though. And I know Superfed famously has said that you can't trust skill expression with lizards. And my counterpoint to you can't trust skill expression with lizards will always be, have you met HUD?
Hmm.
Because I've seen this guy work magic with half a team or less.
Oh no, he's really, really good. It's a challenge to play against him. Both times I've played against him, we've drawn 1-1.
He's also an absolutely lovely bloke for anyone who hasn't had the chance to interact with him. Because he's not on Discord.
Yeah. He's crazy. Like, I just can't believe, like, because both times I played him, it was a slog to try and even get a 1-1. Like, I had to play really, really well. If I made one mistake, it would have been a 2-1 loss both times. You can't make a mistake against him, because he will punish you hard.
And you can't take anything for granted either, which I think is the big thing, is you can't look at the pitch and go, oh, well... You know, I'm alright because those players are there. I've got these players here. There's no way he can... Oh my god, where did that come from? Kind of thing. As soon as you take your foot off the gas against him, it's like he knows. And he's like, well, this is my time. this is where I, you know, you've kind of let off. And I played him against with my Nurgle, and I literally KO'd 80% of his team in the first half.
Yeah.
And he still, like, was pushing to stop me from scoring. Like, with 20% of a team. And applying pressure with what was left. And that's impressive, I think, for any coach who could just go into a match like that and go, okay, well, I've got, like, nothing left. But I still understand how to pressurize you.
Yeah, he's very, very good in the game, and he just... I just can't take anything away from him. Like, he's not done so well in a couple of seasons, but he seems to be bouncing back, because he's made playoffs quite a few times, I think.
I think he did on the Lizards every season he played them. It was the Chaos has been less favourable to him, because it turns out that Chaos Warriors are actually quite good.
Yeah, yeah. But even still, like...
But he did win Big Crunch with no Chaos Warrior Beast, yeah. Chaos. So it's not like he's just picked this up for us and has failed at it. He's doing okay, but he's done well elsewhere.
How he plays Chaos.
Have you played him Superfed? Because I know you've played a lot of the bigger names.
I was trying to look back, and I'm going through his history now and like look and see. So he was only playing with the Lizards for 3 seasons. But he did make the playoffs all 3 times. It doesn't look like I played him. He definitely beat some big teams, though, especially in his time in Div 1. Don't have playoff results in here, it looks like. But, I definitely think that he's a good coach from what I've seen in the playoffs. Of course, the Jurassic Park match between him and Morning Cricket.
I think that will to this day remain my favorite Rebel match of all time to cast.
It was a game.
It was a game that if you paused it at any point, you couldn't predict the final result. Like,
right. And he's not afraid to throw a 5+ dodge, which is terrifying to play against.
That's the thing. Like, if he's got an option, he will play the option. And it's just like, oh my word.
I think a lot of people underestimate that as well. It's like, if your only choice is a 5+ dodge, like, take the 5+ dodge. And a lot of people won't do it. A lot of people will go, oh well, I'll blitz off this mark and then go and mark the guy. And it's like, but that probably doesn't win you the game. Whereas if you actually take the 5+ dodge and get it, you might win the game off the back of it, kind of thing. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And he's very much always been the kind of coach that looks at the situation and goes, I can do a 5+ dodge here, and if I get it, I'm in a really good spot, so I'm going to do it. And that, like I say, you could never rest on your laurels against a guy like that.
Yeah. It's like when we played Metal. Like, when I had, like, the worst option, which was to do that 5+ pass, but it was the only option that kept me in the game.
And I was like, he's not going to do this. And then you did it. And I was like, oh, well, I can't even be mad anymore, because that was incredible.
For once, I just decided, I have to do this. If I do not do this, I will lose the game. If I do this, I might be able to sneak in a draw. So I just done it, and it worked. Hey, sometimes it works. But, yeah, that's something scary to play against. And that's kind of why he was the first one that came to my mind.
I don't think anyone who's ever seen Hood play can argue his position on the list.
Yeah.
I mean...
You really hate this Chaos team, don't you?
That Chaos team is atrocious, and it's still just Lizards, right? So
yeah,
I would like to see him play a different team than Chaos without Chaos Warriors and Lizards. I won't say that he's not on there for now. I think for sure he's. I think it's a valid nomination.
Like in OCC, I think he played High Elves, and he did very well the High Elves.
Well, like I say, I know he's won Big Crunch with that Chaos composition.
Yeah.
So, this is not like just a Rebel meme. This is something he likes to do.
Speaking of coaches that you can never count out, and you can never say... That never say die, and that will, despite all possible pitch situations saying they're done, you know, a coach that will look in the face of that and go, I ain't done. I'm going to pick Larkstar.
Oh, you did take that one I was going to take. That's good.
As you say, it was possible. I was going to pick up Larkstar, and
yeah,
I've always been a fan of watching Larkstar play, not least because of the memes surrounding his games. Like, his one season Lizard team that he desperately wanted to retire and yet kept winning with in the playoffs. Like, and beating, like, serious coaches, like Bleeding Hippie, for example. He beat Bleeding Hippie with a one season Lizard team.
Mm-hmm.
And then he took Halflings and ended up in the playoffs again. And he didn't even need the Stunty Cup ticket to qualify with them. He qualified naturally with Halflings.
Yes.
He won a division with Halflings. Like, that's crazy. And they almost had Sage. He almost had him. It's the case of flipping what's-his-face, big ogre dude. I was going to say Hugh Jackman. It's not Hugh Jackman. It's the other one. The actual ogre that you can hire in-game.
Is it Barfa, or are we talking...
No, we're talking
about the big one.
The big one. What's he called? You know what? Everyone's going to be... I'm going to get messages going, you mean this player? And I'm going to... Yeah, but I remembered in the end. So it's fine.
The most expensive star player in the game.
Yes.
Was it Morg?
Morgenthog.
Yes.
Yeah, Morgenthog failed a GFI.
Oh!
To score against Sage. To draw it 1-1 and push overtime. I mean...
Yeah. That's Menage Trees. His first team, the Cold-Blooded X's, and then he did...
Underworld, and got into playoffs again, and won games in playoffs again. And I don't even know what he's playing anymore. I don't know where he is right now.
He's playing Norse in 3C, yeah. And is currently looking like he's going to get a Challenger Cup spot, but not a playoff spot.
He did take the Norse to playoffs once, though, right? I'm pretty sure. Sure I saw the Norse in playoffs. Take a look. Might be Challengers. I've seen Beard to Death in one of the cups.
He was in 5B. Yeah, he took first place in 5B.
Right, so, in the words of DJ Khaled, all this boy does is win, win, win.
Really? We're quoting DJ Khaled now.
I thought it was appropriate, right? Larkstar is... He picks a team and he just wins with it. And that, to me, is the mark of a great coach.
For sure. I agree, he's not one to give up and, you know, is willing to... I mean, with the Halflings, for example, he had a plan going into each of his games, and he executed the plan pretty well.
I actually think he would have beat Sage, except he broke from his plan on, like, turn 7.
Yeah,
he was doing this weird, like, escort the Chaos team down the sideline and was ready to crash into them, and then he kind of got scared that he was going to get one of his trees clawed and pulled back. And I think it was just one mistake, that probably cost him that drive.
Hmm.
Which was a shame to see, but it was also, up to that point, an absolute masterful display of how to play Halflings. Against high TV Chaos, who should just monster you down. And they didn't have a chance to, and it was really, really entertaining to watch the entire game. It's always fun to watch him, because he does... seem to always have a plan, and he never gives up. He never goes, this is over. He'll fight to the last dice.
Yeah.
And I love that about a lot of, like, there's a lot of coaches who will say, I'm done. And he just won't. Yeah. When the game's important, he just won't. And it's wonderful to watch.
Yeah, I don't have any issues putting him on the list, because I was going to put him on the list.
I don't know if you should put him in this because you stole him. How many spaces have we got left, Superfed? Like, we must be running out.
We are at 32, so we have 8 spots left before we start our shuffling.
Which is going to take us, like, right up to the 100th episode, pretty much, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
If we do, like, maybe do 2 episodes of 4 over the next 2 episodes, and then we'll have our 100th episode, we can actually debate. Part of our 100th episode can be the debating who's in there.
I like it.
That's a plan. Oh wow, we've just leaked some of what's going on in our 100th episode.
Oh no.
I can't believe we're going to be up to 100. That's insane.
That is pretty insane. A lot sooner than I thought it would be, actually.
Well, you know what? We've actually, like I said, we missed one episode this entire year so far. And it's like March now, so... That's going to get you through the episodes pretty fast, it turns out.
Yeah, you are going to chunk through them when you do them every week, like planned.
What have I got to say? I've got to do... You know what? We didn't do it at the start. I'm totally... Like, taking a week off has completely thrown me for a loop as to what we do on the show and when we do it, and that's a thing. But we were going to do news around Rebel real quick, which was supposed to be at the top. First up, if you're American or Canadian or, you know, over that side of the world, do remember that there is a time change going on. Superfed didn't.
Superfed.
Superfed messaged me with an hour before the podcast went, are we doing the podcast tonight then? And I was like, well, yeah, in an hour. And he was like, oh, yeah.
Daylight savings is a lie. Yeah, I wish it would stop, seriously.
Well, I mean, I believe, as far as Britain are concerned, we're actually stopping it after this year. Or this year is... Was last year the last one? Or this year coming is the last one? I believe they were talking about it.
The more places that stop doing it, the better, because then it'll be a trend, and my God, is it the worst thing.
It's pretty bad. I don't understand why we do it.
Especially in, like, a league that sometimes has to schedule globally, it is the worst thing.
Because
it just happens, like, without any fanfare or anything. It's just like, oh, it is... And it worked for us. Worst of all, it happens in the middle of a week, so you can be planning your game on Wednesday, and then you schedule it for Tuesday, and then you're an hour wrong because you forgot that daylight savings kicked in on the Sunday. I don't like it much, to be honest. It's why I always schedule in just UTC and just go with that. If you always schedule in UTC, you can't get it wrong.
Exactly. That's a reminder for all you folks out there. Just schedule UTC. Stop giving me PST or whatever it means. I don't know what they mean.
Mountain time is the worst. Like, what even is mountain time?
Yeah, can we talk about that for a brief second? What are these weird time zones? Like, just give me UTC. Tell me how far behind or ahead of me you are.
What's really amusing is when people say PST, but they really mean PDT.
Stop.
Because you have Pacific Standard Time. And you have Pacific Daylight Time for when Daylight Savings is in effect.
UTC plus one.
I can't get over Mountain Time, that someone named a time zone Mountain Time. Like, which mountain exactly? Because we've got mountains over here too.
I've got plenty of mountains.
Like, is it whatever, when it's 9 o'clock on the Alps? Like, on Everest? I don't know. I mean, what is Mountain Time?
K2?
Is it just... whatever time the guy who lives on the mountain says it is? I don't know.
But there's no consistency across, right? So you have Eastern, you have Central, you have Mountain, and then you have Pacific.
It's
not like we have Atlantic and Pacific.
You still think you've got the slam dunk, but you haven't got the slam dunk because the Aussies have the slam dunk. Because for some stupid reason, there's a part of Australia where they change for half by half an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
Southern Australia... has a region where they are half an hour. Not an hour. It's not an hour time zone. It's a half hour time zone.
Why?
Time zones are bad enough, right? When you stick to 1 hour blocks. Why did not someone in Australia go, we need a half hour time zone? Like, how does that work? That's worse than Mountain Time, and Mountain Time's bad.
Was put together by, like... dentist office that charges you a fee if you're a half hour late.
Capitalism at its finest.
They lobbied some random dude in the parliament and went, yeah, we need a half hour time zone so we can make a million and then quit.
Exactly.
Pro strat.
I don't know. I wasn't even aware it was a thing, and then I was watching a streamer play Path of Exile, funnily enough, who lives in Australia, and his time was half an hour. Like, his time was half an hour different from mine. Obviously, hours different from mine as well, but there was a half hour. And I was like, why is that a thing? And I spoke to some of the Aussies, and they were like, oh, yeah, there's this weird time zone in South Australia that we all try and pretend doesn't exist. So, yeah, there you go. Whenever you think you've got time zones bad, someone else has got it worse.
Spare a thought for the Aussies.
What else is happening?
I just had an idea for the 100th episode. Maybe we should just embrace all of the podcast memes and, like, A, not talk about Blood Bowl the entire episode, but, like, you can talk about Pillars of Eternity, or Pillars of Eternity,
Path of
Exile. I can talk about
Look, if you start talking about Baldur's Gate 3, I'm going to start talking about Baldur's Gate 3 because I'll talk about the
comparisons between poker and Blood Bowl without talking about Blood Bowl. And like we just go full.
We'll get Chubster back on, who still hasn't figured out what's going on or what any of the segments are for. And
just full meme.
Yeah, I could just talk about the delights of Iron Brew, bagpipes.
Train Spotting was actually a documentary on life in Scotland.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't watched it, but yeah, sure.
How his real name is T, and we just, you know.
No, that is not true. Do not breathe
we
life.
We just accepted that he renamed himself
twins.
And we just played along with it.
No, Unashamed Chub, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God. Unashamed Chub means something completely different, for the record.
I think
that's what you get on a nudist beach.
Mm. Uncle Chub, as I once called myself.
Don't ever call yourself that. Ever. Don't do that.
Uncle Chub, baby. I mean, that got everyone in line very quick.
What kind of line? I don't want to know. But yeah, speaking of stuff around Rebel, we're getting rapidly back on topic because this is spiraling out of control quickly. There's still Imperium stuff going on. Harring's Horde has just launched the sign-ups for a new tournament that filled up in about 1.5 seconds, which is what Harring's Horde's tournaments do in Imperium because they're very, very silly. This one was a Khorne-themed one.
What was it called? I missed it.
The Khorne Classic. It's Rebel Imperium's first ever one-day tournament. The Khorne Classic is open to 8 coaches because it's Khorne, of course, and the sacred number of Khorne is 8. It takes place on Saturday the 21st of March, beginning at 7:30 a.m. UTC. Entrance fee is 10 Imperium Gold. Reserve places were already filled up in seconds. There's a unique rule set as the Lord of Skulls watches over this one, seeking a new champion. Every player in the tournament has the Frenzy skill. And there's the tournament almanac. I think it filled up in like a second. I don't know if he's opening like another 8 spots or if it's just going to be 8 coaches. It's his first.
He'd have eight groups of 8.
God, that would be a nightmare. That would be a nightmare to have.
Tournament.
But let's just confirm that there is Imperium stuff going on all the time. I am one game away from finishing my stupid assassin tournament, which is. Has only shown me that stab is the worst skill in the universe.
It took you this long to work it out.
No, I already knew. But you know when you know something, but it's like well, you know it, but you kind of like... Sometimes you just need a reminder that that is the truth. It's like you know gravity exists, but when you need to fall off a curb to remind yourself that it's really bad. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that
is my description for Stab of the Assassin Tournament.
Yeah.
You know it exists, but until you face plant off a curb, you don't know how bad it is.
I've been meaning to play Imperium more. It's just I can't get the time to do it right now. So it's just like...
Well, you know, when eventually your work shuts down and you get told to stay indoors for 2 weeks, you've got plenty of time to play Imperium.
I don't know if that's going to happen, because I work in a supermarket. I don't think they'll let me.
No, they probably won't, to be fair.
But maybe if I just bring up, you know, I'm at a risk because I have to travel.
F in chat for Chubstep.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
trains
God.
Are dangerous. I've seen some sights. But I don't want to take
I can imagine Scottish trains are even worse. I mean, they made a documentary on it, right?
Yeah. It was all about spotting the trains. Yeah.
Oh, God. It's getting tenuous, boys. It's getting tenuous. What else has happened around Rebel? We just had the Superstar Shootout, which was on Crusader's channel. I caught some of it. It was crazy and hilarious. And among other things, there was the brilliant opportunity to watch a coach completely underestimate an Ulf scoring threat.
Yes. What?
Because the Ulf in question had plus agility, blodge, and diving tackle. Diving catch.
That is something you did not ignore.
Let's just say there was a certain coach in Big O who started their Ulf by taking, on a double, diving catch. And we all were like, was it supposed to be diving tackle or not? But then, because of the way Nuffle works, and Superfed's going to tell me that dice don't work like this, I'm sure. But because of the way Nuffle works, he saw the faithful take diving catch on like level 1 or level 2 on an Ulf, and rewarded said Ulf with both agility up and dodge. On.
So I have it on great authority. You know, the top minds of Rebel have investigated the raw data and code that is within Blood Bowl. And, you know, you can just pack it in, boys. All the conspiracy theories, it's just Python random. And that's all there is. There's no modifiers, no, you know.
You really did like light a fire under certain members of the community to look into the randomness.
The code is completely perfect, and I have absolutely zero doubts in my mind that they are lying to me. I am definitely not blinking Morse code for send help. I completely believe when they tell me that it's just RNG.
See, I don't know, right? Because I think I've seen certain coaches name certain players across multiple teams certain things and always get similar level of results on that one player. To the point where it can't, like we talked about him briefly, but T, at Chubstep, I'm sure you'll back me up when I say this, had one player he'd call John on every human team ever, and it would always roll plus strength.
Yes.
Within its first two levels.
I'm glad you asked me a question then, because my Discord had a wee hiccup there, and I just came back to that. So yeah, I'm pretty sure John usually was just a stat freak on any human team he ever had.
And I've seen that, not just with that, but with other coaches who've had multiple teams with one player named the same thing. Or there was Arthur Pendragon on Reese's Bretonian team, and no matter how many times he died, if he named the new player Arthur Pendragon, it would roll a start up when it did the first level.
Yeah, I mean, it's like naming any ogre Bagal, it will die.
would think that if that were actually true, you would just name all of your players on your human team John, and can't have the best team that Blood Bowl's ever made.
That's illegal. Can't name all your players.
Make it legal.
No.
No, it's not in Rebel, certainly.
Technically, yes, that's true. In Rebel, that is against the Rebel rules. That's true.
Don't give people that idea. We'll have problems again.
Why can't I name 11 players John?
Yeah.
Hot potato.
No, it was no potato.
It was no potato.
My favourite thing ever about that team was the team was called No Potato. Every player was called No Potato. He got to playoffs. Chose to potato and then lost because he potatoed.
Almost ironic.
Like
the big O, ladies and gentlemen. The big O.
Like all you had to do was listen to your own player names.
Just don't potato.
The big O.
Big O's, I don't think he was the big O's finest, in all fairness.
The big O's not sending their best. They're not sending you. Are you?
Don't do it! I'm not having it. Don't do it.
Spear us.
I'll save it for the playoff predictions.
Right. Moving on. Admin applications, if you haven't noticed, have now closed. We've brought on 5 new admins, all in the G-Man region. All of them doing Chubstep's old job because Chubstep's not doing it right now.
Aye.
I don't know, it didn't take me 5 people to cover 1 Chubstep.
Yeah, that's true.
It took me about 2, maybe.
Yeah. Push.
But we've brought on or Fonz, as McNugget likes to call him, because it's A. We've brought on Failfish, we've brought on Basman's Grob, we have brought on Gunnerside, which isn't Gunner23, important to note. They're 2 different people. A lot of people were confused by this. It was like, we don't need rel admins. It's like, Gunnerside's not a rel admin. It's like, no, Gunner23 is a rel admin. It's like, yeah, but he's not applied. And we brought on Zinge, finally. Made Zinge do something.
A long time coming for Zinge, to be on the team, honestly.
So if you do see them and they're helping you out, remember that they're kind of new, so they might be a little bit slower than the rest of us, but they are lovely and they are working hard and they know what they're doing.
Probably about 100 times more qualified than I am.
I mean,
at the moment,
I don't want to say anything, but
Sweats.
Excuse me. But yeah, so we are done with. If you didn't make it, it was almost certainly not because we hated you. It was probably because you were just slightly less good. We had a ton of good applications. We had a couple that weren't trying very hard. I've got to be honest.
I completely missed a whole of the applications because I was away that entire.
Yeah, you didn't like have any input there whatsoever. They just turned up and
I was just like, oh, okay.
It's always fun when we have new admins because we do. It's like a, I don't know. It's a thing. Like it repeats itself. There's a pattern when we have new admins that show up. Like first they'll do the big welcomes and then they'll be, you know.
We all welcome them in and then they all go very quiet for about half an hour while like Google.
Exactly. And they just read a lot of stuff. Then they start asking back like, oh, I remember this thing happened. What was that about? And then we're like, oh yeah, you want to have a fun time? Look up this story. And then like. Everything that happens in the admin channel for like the next 2 weeks, they're on like hyper vigilant alert. Like, oh my god, something's happening. I'm here. I'm ready. Let's do it. And then eventually, you know, they'll start to settle in and get comfortable with things. And then they'll see their first, you know, fight, like an admin battle. And then
they'll watch you and Miriscardu flirt, essentially.
I wasn't gonna say that, but sure. Yes, that.
The amount of foreplay that you and Miriscardu have had. I mean,
it's not always Miriscardu.
It's often Miriscardu.
It's often, yeah. It's often Miriscardu.
The sexual tension, guys, you could cut it with a chainsaw. Just don't roll a one!
You could cut it with a butter knife. yeah, you don't want to know what happens when you roll a one.
oh, God! You couldn't, unfortunately, cut it with a stab because you'd probably still fail armor.
True. But anyway, yeah, then the admins get like, you know, terrified for a little bit, and then the question of whether or not they're really good admins. And then,
my favorite part is waiting for Miriscardu and Superfed to have a fight and then tag the new admins and say Mummy and Daddy are arguing and it's all your fault.
or when you just start tagging them, like there's a tag chain of like tell this person to remind this person, and you just tag all the new admins. Like tell this one to do this, to do this.
You know what? Wait until their first admin meeting. That's when that's the real.
I was getting there. There's the admin meeting, and then you also have the wall of text that takes, you know, 30 minutes for someone to write on a subject. That's always the initiation as well. Like everyone's talking, while this one person just keeps typing.
And then it goes text wall, and you're like, oh, read that and tell me if it's important. New guy.
We're very organized, guys. Don't worry about it.
Oh, the admin server's great. The admin server's probably got more memes in than the rest of Rebel. We're just not really allowed to talk about them.
Yeah.
that's the only perk of being an admin, truly. It's not getting your way. It's definitely not making the league better for you. It's simply just the memes.
And usually it's certainly not taking one for the team and having an awful division, because that's happened more than enough times.
Yes.
Usually, and Arch XL himself, who's one of our ex-admins, has often said the one thing he misses is the memes. Because our memes are better memes. We have the best memes.
And if, best memes, yeah.
And if you hang around long enough, Superfed will explain to you what memes are and how they work.
Yeah. I'm sure that's been brought up in a meeting one or two times.
It will be now. It certainly will be now. After he mansplained memes on the podcast. Oh, God.
I honestly can't believe you've done that. That's shameful.
It was beautiful. It was.
It was really great.
We sat there listening to him do it, and I was.
Oh
just
yeah,
like,
there was like the first time in the entire podcast that you've not interrupted me while I was telling a story.
it's just let him dig his own grave, boy.
I was just listening to it, going, "I'm not hearing this. I'm absolutely not hearing this."
There are probably people that listen to the podcast that aren't familiar with the term meme.
Really?
Oh, that sounds like boomer talk to me.
My kids know what memes are.
You don't think there's boomers in Rebel?
Oh, there's definitely boomers.
Hi, Grizzoot! Old man Grizzoot. We love him so. I'm sure that man has definitely said, get off my lawn at least once, unironically. And I know he listens to the podcast, he's definitely going to send me hate mail after this.
Oh dear. Dear.
He's actually really good fun when he gets drunk and yells at people.
I'm often one of the targets for that.
Yeah, because you're a young whippersnapper superfood. You don't know. You're Zuma. Are you a Zuma? I don't know. I've never quite understood where that line draws, and I don't think we need to overly explore it on the podcast.
If you want to Zuma,
can you mansplain it to me, Metal?
Can I mansplain Zoomers? I don't know, but that's the thing. I don't know. I genuinely don't know what category I fall in here. I'm not a millennial, I don't think. No, I think I'm too old for that.
Yeah, I'm a millennial.
But I'm not a boomer, so I don't know where I fit. Like,
Gen X?
I don't know.
Zoomers are like younger to me. They're like random boys age. Like, this
is Zoomer. Is random boy a Zoomer? Oh god.
Yeah, pretty much, man. Like,
yeah, we definitely didn't need this part of the podcast. It's alright, guys. We'll let it out in post.
And we're done, yeah.
Is anything else happening around Rebel at the moment? We've had the Superstar Shootout, which was really good fun. I can't actually remember who won because I went to bed before it finished because it was at late o'clock my time and early o'clock Aussie time, and it was perfect.
I should look into that.
Rel. Someone won. It was on Crusaders channel.
Crusaders? Okay.
It actually felt like the perfect thing for Crusaders channel. Like I said, there was a brilliant moment where Crusader was like, oh, you don't have to worry about that, Ulf. That's not a scoring threat. And I was like, the first time, as soon as you say that, you know for a fact.
You're going to have to worry about it.
You're about to get styled on by an Ulf. You know it's coming. And it happened, and he scored on an Ulf, and it was beautiful. I think it was Crystal Hunter who was playing the Human League. And I'd chatted to him beforehand, and I went, look, man, it's don't take it seriously, because that's no fun. Like, just turn up, be silly, play the thing, and you'll make him more popular. Crystal Hunter's a lovely guy, and I think he's dead popular around Rebel, but certainly, I think he got a few more fans when he started doing stuff like scoring on a diving catch plus Agi Blodge Ulf.
It's just a beautiful piece.
And rolling the more ones than I've ever seen a man roll in a game. There was so many ones. Crusader had one of his catches on the team, and every single time he looked at the ball, he'd roll a one. He was just like, yep, I don't know why we expected anything different, boys. It's one of Crusader's players.
Wow.
But no, what I saw the Superstar Shootout was super entertaining. I'm a little bit sad I didn't get to catch more of it. But it seems that Swagtusk put on a hell of a show in terms of organising it and setting it up and having good coaches on to play the teams. I believe the Elfic Alliance under T-Self absolutely blew out the Stunties. Something awful. It was like 7-3 or something stupid like that. I don't know. There was a lot of touchdowns. People will probably correct me. It's fine. Just, if you get the chance, watch the VODs, because it was good fun.
I will be doing that.
Like I said, what I saw of it was great. I don't know who won. I'm totally interested to find out, so I'm probably going to go catch it at some point myself, when I'm not playing Path of Exile over the next few days.
Or during Path of Exile.
Well, I do have two monitors, so I totally can set that up. What else has happened? Is there anything else happening on Rebel Superfed, or are we in like the quiet calm before the storm period or anything?
I would say this is the time where people would normally be getting hyped for playoffs with investigating who potential matchups would be.
But the plans have started, so that's cool. And
the plans are underway. Yeah.
I'm recapping a play-in division, which is cool.
I think a lot of coaches know if they're like for sure already out of playoffs, and if they're in the hunt, then.
A lot of Division 5 coaches absolutely know, because, you know, if you're in the training grounds, you're not in the hunt for playoffs.
Yeah.
By definition.
You're pretty much just playing more Greenhorn games at that point, but it's worthwhile.
Right.
How's
top of G-Man 1 looking?
G-Man is looking tight at the moment, actually. Like, more than you'd necessarily believe. Sage is back up there. Like,
Sage, Crystal Hunter, Shaman Man, and Jimmy Fantastic. Over in Rel, we've got Not for Science, Stouticus, Travel Scrabble, and Mongoose is Loose, looking to make the repeat.
That'd be cool, seeing Mongoose come back. We've never really seen a coach do well the season after they win the Super Bowl.
No, not usually. And I think it's still really hilarious that we have High Elves at the top of Rel Div 1 again.
after Archxl the King, we have a different High Elf that's taking over the throne.
Who is it now? Is it?
Not for science.
No, how is he still got a team? Never mind winning with it.
You know, if you get a couple admin victories, you get a lot of gold. And his team is actually looking healthier than it ever has. I think Steakmans was saying in the recap that this is the best the team's looked.
Did he lose a couple of players season. And then...
So he lost the Strength 5... he lost the Strength 5 catcher. He lost the Legend thrower. And he lost Blitzer and a bunch of linemen, I believe. An Agi-5 lineman that had like 100 SPP. So he lost a lot, but instead he's still got a natural one-turner.
Yeah, he's still got the core pieces, and it's actually made his team a little bit more TV.
He still has the human blitzer, which is, you know, Agi-3, palm with jugs.
That's pretty good.
Jump up. So, yeah.
I was led to believe as well. Actually, I think you might enjoy this one. Crystal Hunter's last game, he had no Storm Vermin, because they were both MNG'd. And he was playing Jester's Dark Elves, who have a much higher TV than him, in G-Man. And honestly, I've been led to believe it was an insane game. He did stuff like take Big Rat and the Rat Ogre. And all sorts of other nonsense. And I just think from all I've heard of the game and for all of the prep that he was doing, it might be interesting for you to go back and watch Super Fed, because it's another Rat Coach with like half of all of the tools they should have.
It doesn't look like he's doing Big Rat. What he's doing is an Inducement Rat Ogre, which I've definitely...
No, he definitely took Big Rat in his last game. I promise you, because he's told me he did.
I'm looking at the match history. I don't see a Big Rat. I see... Head Splitter
is Big Rat.
Is it?
Yes.
You're right. It is. Okay.
It's just Head Splitter is his real name.
Okay, gotcha. That's what was throwing me off. You're right, because it's trait 6 and it has no nega trait. Yeah, okay. So then, yeah, he did do that. I don't know that I would commit to a Big Rat. I think I would commit to...
I'm not saying you should Roger. Follow in his footsteps. I'm just saying you but might Fez, well enjoy going back and watching the game.
Fez glitch is a thing when it actually is on the pitch. Unfortunately, in my last two games, I was on defense first. My wizard was a 1. And I took enough injuries that Fez glitch was on the pitch on turn 8, and then never to be seen again.
That's bad.
Yeah.
That's bad.
Yep.
Anyway, shall we move on? I don't think there's anything else going on Rebel, because we're all just holding our breath for Super Bowl and episode 100 of the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess it's time to see the show out. And how do we do? Well, I will tell you, what do you call an Irishman that lives outside? Patio furniture.
That's a good one.
I wasn't expecting that. That's so pretty good. That's pretty good.
Well, wow.
I think that's the first time Superfed has ever actually enjoyed one of my jokes.
Say what you will about necrophiliac morticians, but they do love coming into work.
I knew that was coming. Yeah.
The dead one didn't. Okay. A lad was on holiday and he went up to the bar. He asked for a Corona and said, "Hold the virus." I told you it was topical.
This is our best week ever.
I told you it was topical.
Best 2 out of 3, I think that's okay.
Yeah. At least I didn't mess up like the first time I was on, let's be honest.
Well, at least you didn't try and interrupt Metal during his.
Yeah, no.
Oh my god, that was so bad, I can't believe that happened. Like, just completely trampled my Karen? Why is the name Karen? Why is it relevant? What's that going on about? Chirp Step, if you're missing, it was Swag Tusk last episode. Completely trampled my joke.
It's like
right across it. It was so bad. But my bigger worry is that, you know, if this coronavirus persists into tick season, we can get Corona and Lyme.
Wow.
If we're being topical.
Shame.
Shame. Right. Shall we wrap it up? I think
it's
time to say thank you very much to Chubstep for making time in your incredibly mental schedule to join us.
Mm-hmm.
I hope people have enjoyed your unique brand of crazy.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's always crazy.
And have you enjoyed being on again? Being able to get back and do something that's not work?
Mm-hmm. No, I really appreciate, like, actually getting let on, considering I've really been invisible.
Well, I think we needed to remind people that you existed.
Mm-hmm. I do appreciate it, finally being on. Like, I was a bit worried it wasn't going to happen, because it was meant to happen, like, a good month ago.
Yeah.
And it didn't.
I was worried that it wasn't going to happen, because I was still going to be sick, to be honest. So I'm quite glad I'm... Mostly, I've coughed a little bit. I've tried to get my mic muted for most of it. I was worried that also that I would forget to unmute my mic, and I'd just be sat here like listening to you two chat, and you're going, "It's a really quiet section."
Yeah.
Where's Matt?
I'm just glad the Discord managed to hold up fairly well. I don't know. This server always has troubles with, and I don't know why.
That's weird. That's strange. It should be good for you because it's in your region as well. Yeah. So anyway,
it might be remnants of being taken to the Shadow Realm by
the time you got banned. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much, Chubstep. Thank you once again, Superfed.
Always a pleasure.
I hope you continue to stay indoors and continue to stay healthy, my friend. And thank you very much to all of the people that make the Rebel prizes, the podcast, everything Manetinary around here possible. That is Big A, Coach Cool, Ezekiel, Jeff. Fell over myself there because I was going to say something completely different. Rex Longbourn, Practical Snow, Big Chuck, Kalissi Meyer, Cool Kiwi, Mr. Cavalian, Cthulhu Collector, Aldar, Basman's Grob, someone I don't have the name for yet. Why don't I have your name? It's unfortunate. Dr. Nick, Ninja Pirate Assassin, someone else. Lord Brainlord. There we go. Quack Zix Zix. I've been told that I have to keep pronouncing that as awfully as possible, and he's not going to give me an easy way out. What a guy. Gotta love it. He said, no, you can if you want, and I'm going, now, and okay. If people enjoy it, it's fine. We've got Zinge, we've got Rugbar, we've got another person I don't know because they haven't given me their online name. We've got Grandview King, we've got Dash Schutenheim, we've got Slice and Dice, we've got Dwiggy, we've got Tater Spyro, we've got Dr. Hep, we've got T-Cold, we've got Viking Cop, we've got Lord Owl, we've got Arch Excel, and that's everyone who is donating at the call-out tier. So thank you very much, guys. You absolutely allow us to make our prize pool possible, you know, the hosting, the server boosting seems to be on point for Rebel at the moment, so that's cool, so we can keep our audio quality up. All of the money you give to us does go into back into the prize pool and to making Rebel better. We already have the miniature bought for this season, believe it or not. That's how far ahead we are on money. We've got the miniature bought. It's with a painter. It's being painted. The base is already complete. It's looking exciting. It should be ready before the playoffs even begin. And all of that is thanks to you guys. So thank you very much for supporting us on the Patreon. It is truly appreciated. Once again, Chubstep, it's been wonderful.
Been a pleasure.
Superfed TV, it as always is a pleasure, my friend.
Of course.
I've been Full Metal, we've been the Rebel Alliance. Y'all stay classy now, folks.
Help! Help! That zombie broke my tail.
As you get older, it's important to think about what would happen if you suffered an injury on the pitch. No one knows injuries like Eisenmike, and that's why he's established a new infirmary in the South District. Healthcare specialists from all backgrounds have been brought in to meet the diverse needs of your team. Spectacular design, spared no expense. Come by and visit the all-new spawning pool, where the next generation of injured Zors are being welcomed into the world. Welcome to Fractured Park.